Hey Pixel, do you want to hear about this ridiculous thing that Sunshine did today?
I absolutely do, Paige.
Okay, so this kid has been obnoxious all day long. We took him to the bookstore. He loves the bookstore, but screamed the whole time, just not listening, being a pain. We get home. He's doing the same thing. He's just running around screaming at us for no reason. We're not really sure what's going on. So that's super great. Gave him a bath. He did not want to get out of the bathtub screaming at me again. And I was just like, okay, time to get in bed. So I get him in bed, read him his story, all that stuff, got his pajamas on, all that stuff. And this kid has the audacity to, I'm done. I'm ready to be done so I can come out here and we can record this podcast and I can just be an adult again. This kid has the audacity. After I turn off the light and get back in to snuggle him for a little bit, he looks at me and basically props his arm, his head up on his arm and goes, "How about a song?" What?
What an asshole. Well, welcome to Paige and Pixel. I'm Pixel, and that's Paige. And today, on episode two, thank you for joining us on the second step of our journey. We will be stepping through the fog into the world of Silent Hill F. But before we do that, you should know a few things right off the top. First, I chose this game because it was released within the past year, which is super goddamn timely for me, and you should not grow to expect that. Most of the games that I really want to talk about have been out for at least a decade, and I will not be made to feel bad about that. The second thing that you should know before you commit, and know this now, is that there are going to be spoilers because I, now listen, I told you this last week, I'll say it again. I didn't make this podcast for you. I made it for me. Paige made it for her. We're doing this for us because we need to talk about these things. And I can't do that if I'm worried about your precious feelings. So,
How do you spoil a video game?
what are you talking about? Okay, so that's where we're starting, folks. See, I am the gamer of this little two-person podcast family. So Paige doesn't know, evidently, that video games have stories and twists and turns. It is a story that you consume by being placed into the action. Unlike reading, where it is what it is no matter what you do. This is a, video games are stories that you encounter as if you yourself are in the story. But they can absolutely be spoiled, as you will soon see. Like I said, today's game is Silent Hill F, and the F stands for fuck you. Silent Hill F was developed by Neobards
Does
Entertainment.
it actually stand for fuck
It
you?
doesn't seem to stand for anything. Like there is
Okay.
much conjecture online about what the F, some say it stands for feminism or female, which maybe it doesn't make sense alphabetically, like the other games were numbered. It wouldn't be the right letter number anyway. It doesn't, we don't know. Long story short, we do not know. Could stand for fungus, actually. We'll get there. It's prettier than you think. But in my mind, the F is a big middle finger to the player. Like I was saying, it's a Konami game. Konami has published all of the Silent Hill games thus far. This game is somewhere between the ninth and the 19th game in the Silent Hill franchise, depending on how you count remakes and spin-offs and kind of non-traditional game styles, like arcade games and choose your own adventure stories. So it's all of which to say, it's been around for a long time, and we are kind of in the back end of the Silent Hill catalog. This game is set in a town called Ebisugaoka, which is a small rural Japanese village in the 60s, which is a bit of a departure. Most of the Silent Hill games are set in the town of Silent Hill, which is in Maine. And Silent Hill is a town that exists in multiple realities at the same time. So there's the Silent Hill that everybody sees, which is just a normal, coastal vacation town, and people live there and they work there, and there's a bar and a nightclub and a library and a hospital and apartment. It's just a town. But underneath that is a Silent Hill, which is a place that you get sucked into if you are weighed down by guilt or the awful deeds of your past or trauma. It is essentially a hell of your own making.
So this is a horror game then?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yes. The survival horror is the genre that all of the Silent Hills fall into. So yeah, Silent Hill is kind of hell, but not everyone seems to like belong there. It's more about like, do you think you should be there? Does your guilt, your fear, whatever, putting you there, whether or not you are a sympathetic character, it's interesting psychologically. We'll kind of get into that a bit. And in this place, Silent Hill is populated with monsters that are symbolic of whatever your trouble is, whatever your guilt is, whatever your shame is, whatever your trauma is, the monsters depict that. And they depict it beautifully. Like, that's one of the things that across all the Silent Hill games, the monsters are interesting and frightening and heavily symbolized versions of all kinds of things. So even though Silent Hill F is not set in the town of Silent Hill, it is still very much a Silent Hill game in that, like, Ebisu Galka is not just a normal town. There is the normal town, and we see glimpses of that, but there is also this, like, strange, otherworldly underbelly that these characters have fallen into, and they don't know how to get out. So, without further ado, let's wrap this bitch. No, that's my intro into Diving Deeper. It's a catchphrase. I'm working on it. Let us know in the comments if you like it. So you, the character that you are playing as is Shimizu Hinako. By the way, the name Hinako means baby bird in Japanese, and I'm obsessed. It's like the cutest name ever. Hinako. I love it.
I took a year of Japanese in high school. I can say, what is your phone number?
Say, what's you? Do it. Do it. Yes, monkey. What is it?
Oh, I feel like I'm so sorry to anyone who actually speaks Japanese, because I'm going to sound like an American. But as far as I can remember, it is Denwa Bango wa Nanban desu ka?
I love it. So yes, the protagonist of this game is Shimizu Hinako. And I can't, it's beautiful. I love it. And she has mixed feelings about getting married, let me tell you. As we can piece together throughout the game, which takes at least 3 playthroughs to get the whole story, which I will get to later when I talk about the mechanics of the game. But anyway, we learn that a well-to-do gentleman named Koryuki, who kind of knew Hinako when they were kids, but has been gone for a long time, he shows back up. He returns to Ebisu Galka and asks Hinako to marry him. And half of Hinako is down and likes him and wants to conform to the 1960s Japanese expectations of what a woman is supposed to do, which is get married, have kids, stay home, etc. She wants to be a happy housewife and never have to make a single decision for herself ever again. But the other half of Hinako is terrified. She hates the prospect of losing her independence, losing her freedom, losing herself. She's afraid of marriage in general. Hinako was always a tomboy. She never had any interest in doing feminine things, including growing up and getting married. She and her best friend, Shu, their favorite thing is they pretend to be space warriors together, and they play all kinds of, like, boy games. So her whole life she's been made fun of for being the weird girl that likes boy things and does boy things.
Hey, if you're listening out there, there's no such thing as girl things and boy things. Do whatever you want. Back to you.
Yeah, no, 100%. But, you know, 1960s, Japan, like, there were very much, and there still are today, very much strict ideas of what boys can do and what girls can do. And Hinako, to her credit, did not care what anyone else thought. She played her space games. She was herself. And another layer of her ambivalence about getting married is her parents' marriage. So her dad is an abusive alcoholic, and her mom, at least as far as Hinako can see, and we do get hints that, like, things are maybe not as they seem, and there might be stuff, like, privately between their relationship that it's not as bad as Hinako thinks it is. But from what Hinako can see, her mom just takes it. just like smiles and continues to be with this husband that she should really be leaving, and takes the abuse and never stands up for herself, never gets away from it. So, and obviously Hinako does not want that future for herself. Nobody does. And I think on some level she thinks this is what marriage is. And, you know, people do that. You see what your parents' marriage is, you see that, and you think, this must be my future. And it can take some time to break out of that. So there's this tension between her wanting to blaze her own trail and the other side of her that wants to conform to cultural expectations. And it literally splits her in half. It tears her psyche in
half. I see.
Yes. So the game alternates as sometimes you're playing as Hinako, the independent tomboy, and sometimes you're playing as Hinako, the bride-to-be. So half the levels are set in Ebisugaoka with tomboy Hinako trying to make her way to various points in town to check on her friends, and half of them are set at a shrine to Inari, the Japanese fox god. And Inari turns out to be a stand-in for Kodoyuki, the guy that has proposed to her. They in her mind, like, they are the same thing. She is literally, in her mind, marrying local tradition. Like, that's how deeply this goes for her. But she's also, like, she's definitely at least kind of into it and thinks he's hot. You know what I mean? It's complicated.
As much of life is.
Yeah. So there are several endings to this game with different conditions for unlocking them that you only learn by playing earlier iterations of the game. So the first ending that you get was, it was my favorite. It's insane. So like at the beginning of the game, your friend Shu gives you 10 red pills and you can use those as healing items. And then you find more pills all over the place. And so you maybe aren't familiar with survival horror games, but in that context of this genre, there is no reason to suspect that you shouldn't take whatever you find lying around that makes you feel better. In other survival horror games, like, you can find a dirty syringe on the ground and you're like, yippee, health, and you jam it in yourself and you're all good because that's the expectation of the genre.
You're just doing anything you can to survive.
Absolutely anything.
So, like, nothing you would pick up would have any,
like, ill effect.
Ill effect or, like, unintended consequences, or
there are some games where like you can take something and it ends up making you sick, but you know that immediately and you think, okay, I got to avoid the stuff that looks like this, because, or like sometimes there's a trade-off, like if I drink this whole bottle of beer, I have increased stamina, but everything looks fuzzy and it's harder to control my character.
Okay.
But I have never played anything else where there is like a long form, like you learn much later.
Okay.
That this actually,
I see where the spoilers are coming in, because now I'm kind of like, I'm not going to play this game because I don't play video games. It takes too long. But part of me is like, oh my God, don't tell me. I don't want to know what the endings are. I want to find them out for myself. But I'm not going to find them out for myself. So it's okay. You could just tell me.
Yeah. So, but all of which to say, anything that you take, and you take these red pills and they make your health go up and they make your sanity go up and they make your stamp. They are just a healing item and they work and they're great and they're plentiful. And, guess what, suckers? It turns out that if you take the pills throughout the game, even if you just take one throughout the course of the game, you have turned real-world Hinako into a strung-out junkie, and the ending is that she goes apeshit and murders everyone at her wedding. Because the pills, like, make her crazy, and she's out of touch with reality. And, yeah, and you don't know till the very end that, like, those pills you got at the beginning, you can't take them. I know your face is saying, you know. Do you want to put words behind? This is an audio medium. Do you
know? I know. I just, oh my gosh, that's wild. I guess I didn't realize that some of these, that I just thought that these games, like, you just play through and they all have one ending. I didn't realize that these story games can have multiple endings. Like, the extent of my video gaming is like, Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley. Like, that is, if I'm going to play a video game, I'm going to play something where I can live in a world where capitalism has no bad consequences and I can just pretend, and it's great. Like, I have a book video game where I have a little traveling bookstore, and I go around the town and I sell books. And that's all I want to do, is I just want to have a cozy little bookstore and for capitalism to not destroy the world.
Yeah, no, I like stabbing monsters that represent my trauma. But we all cope differently. So anyway, to unlock the other endings, you have to never take the pills. Like, she will still give them to you at the start of every game. You have to just get rid of them. So if you don't take the pills, you unlock these different endings. The next ending that I got, I rejected Kotoyuki / Fox God entirely. And I ran off with Shu to continue to have tomboy adventures and live my life the way that I want to. And when I say that I go with Shu, I do not mean that romantically.
There's no queer coding there.
Shu is a guy. And Hinako's a girl.
I definitely thought Shu was a girl. So sorry.
No. And that's part of what the town, like, that's part of what the other kids make fun of her for, is her best friend is a boy and they do all the stuff, but they're not together. They're just best friends. But it's a little more complicated than that, because Shu is definitely into Hinako. And there is never any indication that she reciprocates those feelings. Yeah.
Sounds like a great start to a romance book.
We'll get there. So, and honestly, like, I personally found it kind of refreshing, because I feel like so often stories with female protagonists boil down to, will she fuck gentleman A or will she fuck gentleman B? And like, her entire future rides on that decision. So I kind of liked the idea that, like, this ending has nothing to do with a romantic adventure. It's just like they're best friends, and this is the path where she is going to be herself. And I thought at first that, like, this is the I thought I'd gotten the good ending. I thought this was the happy ending. And it turns out that if you do this, if you reject Kotoyuki / Fox God, the Fox God abandons the town of Ebisugaoka in real life, leaving the town vulnerable to a water dragon deity that destroys the whole village. So, oops.
Honestly, fuck that village.
I mean, honestly. Honestly.
Still sounds like a happy ending to me.
Honestly. But it's not supposed to be. Like, we'll get there. We will get there. Because I want you to make note of, like, the idea of abandoning tradition entirely is heavily punished by the game, which we will come back to in a bit. But, like, that's not, the message is not abandon tradition, which I don't like. We'll get there. We're getting there. The third and final ending I got is the one that's considered the good ending. So the two halves of Hinako attempt to reconcile, and they go off together to walk a path that in some ways accepts tradition without completely sacrificing her independence and her adventurousness. It doesn't end with her marrying Kotoyuki, but it does end with a letter from her that basically says, like, I am open to the possibility of settling down once I figure myself out. So they're not together, but it kind of feels like they would be eventually. She's just got to sow some wild oats. But, like, this makes this one of a handful of games that I have come across that seem at first like they are going to have this powerful message of self-acceptance or queer acceptance or whatever. And then they pull all of their punches and end in, like, this totally different place. Persona 4 is the biggest offender in this regard, which will get its own episode because it's also one of my favorite games. Shit's complicated. But in Silent Hill F, like, we get these teases that maybe Hinako could be trans or at least genderqueer. Like, there are lines in the game. She says at some point, I do not want to be a girl. She says, I wish I were a boy. And, like, sure, that could just be, like, the 60s Japanese culture of it all and how extremely restrictive it was for women. So it might be less about, I don't want to be a woman, and more about, I don't want to be constrained in these particular ways. Go ahead.
You know what, Hinako? Me too. Sometimes I don't want to be a girl. I want to be a boy. I don't know why, but it's there.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I'm non-binary. So a part of me just, and this is my bias, but one of me be like, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want, baby them.
Whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. You don't have, like, you want to be a girl, you want to be a boy. There's, like, we have pills for that now. baby. And they're not the red ones. The shoe cave, you don't fucking touch those ones. But it's just, I don't know. I found it disappointing. There seem to have been a lot of pieces of evidence throughout the game that Hinako does not fit in the cis girl mold, but they don't ever go anywhere, ultimately. And in fact, if she embraces that part of herself too much, it literally destroys her village. Like, it is punished heavily. And I just feel like a more satisfying ending would have been, like, she rejects both of those halves of herself. She rejects the one where she goes and just continues to play kid games with Shu, who got her hooked on drugs, let us not forget. And she also rejects the reality where she marries the fox god and settles down and becomes this housewife that she never, ever, ever wanted to be. She could go anywhere. She could do anything. She can and probably should abandon the traditions that she feels are boxing her in and suffocating her. And the game at first really makes it seem like she's going to. It really makes it seem like she's going to give two middle fingers to the whole system. But in the end, the message is, and it's the same across several games like this that I've come across, the final message is, hey kids, it's okay to question everything. It's okay to feel like you don't fit in and want to rebel against the system. It's okay to think you might be gay, to think you might be trans, or that you don't want to take over the family business, or that you don't want to get married. But ultimately, what's best for you and everyone, what the mature thing to do is to settle the fuck down and be cis and straight and embrace tradition after all. And I just, like, I hates it. I hates it so much. For me, it'd almost be better if they never broached those subjects in the first place.
Right.
Right. If the message is going to be like, you know what, now that I've thought about it, the old safe ways are the best ways. You know?
Wrong.
Wrong. Exactly. Exactly. So, Paige, you're going to ask me what my favorite moment was.
So, what was your favorite moment then?
Okay. My favorite part of the game only actually happens in the first playthrough.
Nice.
And it's towards the end. And you're in the Fox Shrine world of the game. So for most of the first playthrough, Hinako looks the same in both worlds. She just has different weapons. But that changes after this level. So you are in a section of the shrine that has all of these rooms with different kinds of doors. And some are just regular doors, and some have doors that lift over your head, and some, like a garage door kind of a situation. And some have doors that have the symbol painted on them. And then there's these, like, long stretches of wall that have a different symbol painted on them. So you go through the first time, and you can only open the regular doors. All the other doors are inaccessible to you.
In the first playthrough?
No. So you have to go through this area several times in the first playthrough.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So the first time you go through the area, you go through the regular doors. And you find the stuff you need to find. And then at the end of that little section, there is a cutscene. Do you know what a cutscene is?
Yes, I know what a cutscene is.
I'm trying to be accessible to you.
I'm not a complete idiot.
Okay. So there's this cutscene where we see this ritual where one of Hinako's arms is replaced with a huge fucking fox arm.
For the whole time? The whole rest of the time?
And the whole rest of the time she's at the Fox Shrine. So This is where her appearance becomes different between the two worlds. It's like they alter how she looks in, like, Fox God world, but not in town world. And that huge fucking fox arm becomes her only weapon after this. And it hits hard! And has, like, this charge tech. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So now, after you get the fox arm, you go back through the same area, but now you can lift those heavy overhead doors. Right?
Okay.
So then you get everything from those rooms. And then there's another cutscene where you do another ritual where they brand this huge symbol on her back. And guess what the symbol is?
Oh,
it's the symbol that's on those doors. The other doors that had symbols painted on them. So then you can go back through, and now those doors just magically open for her. And after that, after you get everything in those symbol doors, there is a final cutscene for this section where Hinako, her face is replaced with a sewn-on fox mask. Yes.
That's terrifying.
And after that, she can spend some of her sanity, which we'll get to how that works. She can trade some sanity and walk through the walls that have those symbols painted on them.
Let me just say that I don't know why, but for some reason, people wearing animal masks are the most terrifying things to me. Like, there's this phone game that I play, and there's like a bunch of different apps, but it's like all one story, and in one of the stories at the end they're all wearing different animal masks, and I don't know why, that just is the freakiest thing to me.
I just want to say to our furry listeners that I love you and I accept you, even if
that's not what I meant. It's when they're just like, it's a human and they just put on like a cheapo mask, which I guess I thought furries did like the whole costume.
They do most of the time.
We're not going to get into this.
I'm not an expert on furries.
Anyway, that's not what I meant.
I care about you. You're welcome in this space. So anyway, this part was super cool. I had a lot of fun with it. Unfortunately, it only happens in this way during the first playthrough. In later ones, like, you come to this level and it looks the same, but you can go through all of the doors, so it goes by super quick. Like, you just go get all the stuff you need. There's no cutscenes in between. Okay. Like, you get in and you get out. Because in subsequent playthroughs, like, once you have unlocked the fox arm and the face and the symbol, the game just gives those to you kind of early on at a fox shrine level. And just like, oh, here you go.
Oh.
Which makes it much easier, because the fox arm... I'm telling you. So the part where I wanted to break my ever-loving controller.
Uh-oh.
I literally almost had a nervous breakdown during the first boss battle.
There's bosses?
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a Super Mario Bros. type thing.
No, so the bosses in the game, there's tons of regular monsters, but the bosses are all like monsterified versions of the people in Hinako's life, like her friends, her parents, etc. And the first boss battle is against her friend Sakako. And Sakako, her family owns a shrine in town, and she is like the Japanese traditional religion version of like a Jesus freak. Like, she's weird. Nobody likes her. Like, she doesn't have a lot of, like, Hinako.
So like me in high school.
Like me in high school. Yes. But like, to the point where like, she seems even less connected to reality than I think I, you know what? Maybe not.
I was maybe not. I was, high
no,
school.
Me too. No, I take that back. So anyway, Hinako is one of Sakako's only friends. And she dies really early in the game. Like, her heart explodes for reasons we don't understand. But anyway, a monster version of her comes back to the fox shrine. And Hinako has to fight her. And I've said, I don't know if I've mentioned yet, but the combat in this game is terrible.
Ooh.
It's terrible. Basically, you've got three bars. You have a health bar, which is pretty straightforward. Your health goes down when you get hit. You drink some tea or eat candy or something, and it goes back up. Then you have a stamina bar, and that's consumed every time you dodge or run or strike. And it slowly refills whenever you're not moving.
Okay.
And then you have your sanity bar, and sanity is consumed during charged attacks. You hold down a button, you charge up, you hit really hard, but it drain some of your sanity. So you can only do those tough attacks.
Okay.
You can only do a few of them before you need to find like chocolate, and that helps your sanity. Or
that's
Ramune.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Ramune makes you sane.
I love that stuff.
It's so good. So good. So, on the first playthrough, this is the first boss battle, you have not unlocked any upgrades to your stamina. You have not unlocked any upgrades to any of those bars. I am telling you, Hinako is the most out of shape video game protagonist of all time. She can do like three things before that bar is completely drained and she needs to like sit down and take a rest.
I mean, also sounds like me in high school. Sounds like me now too, but.
Well, so the thing is, like, I would, like, get in there and I'd hit Sakiko and then I'd dodge and then I'd, you know, try to hit again, whatever. I'd do, like, three things. And then I'm stuck right next to this monster thing and I don't have any stamina and I can't move. So I'm vulnerable to, like, including blocking. Like, I can't do anything. So then, like, Sakiko hits me and I'm just a sitting duck, right? I would do barely any damage. I'd be stuck motionless until Hinako caught her fucking second wind. And also, without upgrades, charged attacks, like the where you can actually hit hard and do damage, mm-hmm. take forever to charge up. So you have to stay there motionless, charging. And if, like, Sakiko moves out of range, the attack doesn't do anything. Or if, like, she hits me, it disrupts the charge. So, like, it's really hard to actually land an attack that's going to do any damage to a boss. It's just the first boss battle handed my ass to me so many times before I, like, got the hang of doing a charged attack, running away, recharging my stamina, getting back in there over and over and over. Which is another reason that the combat fucking sucks, because it's just the formula. Like, you figure it out, and once you figure it out, you do the thing you need to do over and over and over again until the enemy gives up, and it's that for every enemy.
For all of the bosses, it's like that?
I mean, they have some differences, like, the attacks look different. They might have a thing where, like, you have to hit them real fast to stop them from doing a big attack, but, like, by and large, the way I played the whole game, the way I fought every enemy, bosses and not bosses alike, is charge up, hit them, get out of there. Charge up, hit them, get out of there. Charge up, hit, over and over and over again. The whole time. The combat, and we'll get more into other things about the combat system in a bit, but, like, it's not good. And that's the worst thing about it. We'll get there. But first, so I had asked... I had asked Paige to ask me what character I had a crush on, because inevitably I do, right? I almost always end up catching feelings for somebody in these games. The thing about a video game, you spend a lot of time with these characters, at least the games that I like to play. But honestly, there was not a single character in this game that I even kind of liked, let alone caught feelings for. So I reject that question and I am submitting my own, which is the character that I wanted to beat to death with my bare hands. And that character, okay. That character is Rinko.
I mean, the name, right? Just the name. I'm already ready to Rinko punch her. Him in the face.
Her.
Rinko
is a her.
Like them, but. Punch
okay.
him.
Yeah. You said him, but I'll let you
know. No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so, Rinko is a character that is with you and Shu and Ebisu Gaoka and in those levels. And she's, my God, she is the absolute worst. She's supposed to be one of your closest friends, right? She secretly fucking hates you.
Oh.
And
so, like, all of my friends in high school.
I didn't know this game would be about you when I chose to talk about it, but...
You're bringing up a lot of deep-seated trauma that I didn't know I was getting into.
So, like, one of the levels of the game is set in their old high school. And you find all of these notes and, like, diary entries and shit written by Rinko about how she only hangs out with you because she thinks you're weird and that she'll look better by comparison. And also she gets to feel like a good person for being your pity friend. Like, these are all things that she wrote. But she also hates you, and the primary reason is because she has a big ol' crush on Shu. She is in love with Shu, and Shu only has eyes for Hinako, baby. Rinko's awful. She's awful. She pushes Hinako down a flight of stairs when Hinako is just looking for medical supplies. Like, she's constantly trying to get Hinako away from her and Shu so they can be alone together. So, like, she'll send Hinako to, like, hey, can you go find, like, the key to get us out of here while we just, like, sit and take a breather, even though, and I cannot stress this enough, you have already been doing all the work anyway, but they need a rest. They need to sit down while you go
oh my God.
Do all the work for them.
Hate people like that.
Awful. Rinko is awful, and you learn more about her on every playthrough, and it just furthers, like, there's never anything redeeming. It just furthers how awful she is. She's just a bitchy high school mean girl who wants Hinako dead, even though all Hinako ever does in the game is, like, try to help her and, like, be a friend to her. But it's fine because she gets what's coming to her when the Fox Shrine Hinako drops her into a river of lava.
If you have friends like that in real life, dump them. They suck. Okay? Thanks.
And I think some of it is, like, Hinako didn't know that until she finds the letters and stuff. Like, she wasn't aware.
But she pushed her down the stairs!
That was after the Silent Hill shit had already started. Like, things were bad at that point.
Oh, okay.
We don't see any interactions before the monsters have arrived. But I don't know. Maybe she was awful. I imagine she was awful the whole time and Hinako was just kind of oblivious to it. But we don't really actually know. Okay. So let's talk mechanics. This is primarily what I'm talking about when I say that the F in Silent Hill stands for fuck you. In a lot of ways, this is just your standard Silent Hill survival horror game. It's fairly linear. You can wander around a bit, but you definitely, like, you have to go to certain places in a certain order. There's things you can pick up to boost your health. There's various melee weapons. The upgrade system, it's actually kind of cool. Like, there's these shrines scattered throughout the game, and you can find, like, various artifacts that you can place at the shrine in exchange for faith, and then you can spend faith to get certain upgrades, like stamina and health and stronger melee weapons, whatever.
That's how faith works, right?
I mean, it's innovative. It's a different... I thought it was kind of cool, but it's not directly how faith works, I would say. But I liked that part, but, like, so these shrines are, like, all over the map. And speaking of the map, the map is so hard to use. And, like, I'm really bad at maps anyway because I have the spatial reasoning skills of a baby sea turtle that's confused car headlights for the full moon. But the game map, the game map is hand-drawn. And the art style is pretty, but it's, like, really hard to see, like, which paths are open and which are blocked and which ones go where. And there's so many times where the place that you're supposed to go will be circled on the map. And it'll be, like, way the fuck over there, and you're over here, and there's just blank paper until you move in that direction, and you have to kind of, like, figure out the map yourself. I don't know. I got turned around a whole bunch of times.
I just play Stardew Valley.
I found it unnecessarily, which is, like, in other sites, like, the Silent Hill 2 remake, the map is really easy to use. It's, like, blueprints.
Mm-hmm.
This was so hard. There are lots of puzzles and riddles to solve, which I liked. There are two puzzle settings that I tried. There's story mode and hard mode. There's actually an even harder mode called Lost in the Fog. I did not fuck with that one. Wasn't interested. But I could not discern much of a difference in difficulty in the puzzles between story and hard mode. Like, they were different, but one didn't seem harder than the other. In fact, like, I found some of the hard mode puzzles more intuitive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But whatever. The real fuck you part, as I kind of talked about earlier with the Sakuko battle, is the combat.
Excuse me.
I hated this game's combat in every single way. It looked horrible.
Oh.
And, like, that's something I haven't mentioned yet, but this game is beautiful.
Oh.
Like, that's the biggest thing it has going for it, is that it is visually stunning. The creeping evil taking over the town is represented by, like, this red fungus thing, which is when I said, like, F might be for fungus. But it's beautiful. It is gorgeous. And the fox stuff looks great. The shrine looks great. The artists behind this game incredibly talented. Which makes it so much more jarring that the combat looks as bad as it looks. It's slow and clunky. And, like, Hinako would, like, swing at a character and her weapon would, like, strike somewhere in midair next to the monster. And then the monster would react in a way that doesn't make any sense with what Hinako just did. It looked so bad. It was animated so poorly. Which is not at all true of the Silent Hill 2 remake, which just came out, like, a year before this one. And that combat looked great in that game. I know it was a different development team, but it's the same franchise. And I went into it a bit when I was talking about the boss fight that made me want to break my controller. But in the first playthrough, before you've gotten any health or stamina or sanity upgrades, the combat is so hard. They actually, after I had played through it the first time, the developers went in and patched the game and made it less difficult because everybody was like, what the fuck, man? Like, this isn't fun. It's too much. Yeah.
Because, like, with a video game, you gotta have that balance of, like, challenging, but not so difficult that it's just gonna get you frustrated to give up.
Right. And this was on story mode. So, like, it wasn't like, if I wanted the challenge, I could have put it on hard mode.
Gotcha.
I put it on story mode because I wasn't interested in, like, tearing my hair out trying to beat up these monsters.
You just want to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So they went in and they fixed that for the subsequent playthroughs that I did. But then once you're in your second and third playthroughs, which you have to do to get the whole story, which I also resent for reasons I'll get to in a moment, then the combat's way too easy. Because you've leveled up so much farther than the monsters have. So it goes from the first playthrough being a slog to the rest of them being almost too easy to be fun anymore. Wow. Because you're so jacked. It's the worst of both worlds. Like, the monsters themselves are kind of fun. You have lots of creepy iterations of dolls to represent her childhood fear of femininity and marriage.
Kind of love a creepy doll.
Yeah, there's a fox monster. There's this awful childbirth monster that's covered.
Does F stand for fox?
Fuck you, maybe. It might. It could. You interrupted me talking about the childbirth monster.
Okay.
It's covered in these giant cysts that spit out other lesser enemies that you also have to defeat. It's horrific and disgusting.
Ew.
But, you know, it's obviously a fear of, like, settling down and having kids. It's on the nose, but it's well done. There's a loud thing with a knife hand, and that represents your dad because he threw a knife at you one time when he was drunk, and that caused some trauma for some reason, right? Why would it? So the monsters themselves look cool. They are cool, but fighting them is horseshit.
That sucks.
It sucks. And finally, my biggest gripe with the game is that you have to do multiple playthroughs to unlock the good ending. But the playthroughs themselves don't actually change substantially enough to justify needing to do it 3 times minimum.
Like, things have to be different in order to keep it interesting.
And there are some differences. Some of the cutscenes, especially late in the game, are different and they reveal more information. Like, on the first playthrough, you don't know she's getting married. You don't know who the fuck the fox god dude is supposed to be. A lot of the details aren't revealed until, like, late game on the first playthrough. Even some of them late on the second playthrough. But the vast majority of the game is exactly the same.
That sucks.
Except it just keeps getting increasingly easier. It was not fun or different enough to justify needing to do it 3 times.
This person on Facebook said, F for the friends you made along the way. You didn't make any
at the end. But yeah, it just, like, it felt super masturbatory on the part of the game developers and writers to force me to do it so many times with so little playoff. Like, a lot of games, they'll have a new game plus. You can play it again if you want to, but, like, to force me, I had to do it 3 times to get the ending that is, like, the real ending.
Right.
So, I don't know. I didn't care for that. So, overall rating. This was really tough for me, mostly because I didn't really like the game that much. But most people that also didn't like the game that much are, like, incels who don't like it because it's a female protagonist who doesn't want to get married. And who cares what women want? They're not human beings with opinions. Like, that's the majority of the criticism online that you find for this game. That's where it comes from, is these people. And some of that is that the gamer world is, like, so male-dominated.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but, like, I don't want to be lumped in with those guys, you know. But, like, there are other valid criticisms to make about this game that have nothing to do with, like, I'm mad that the protagonist didn't have
a penis. We've been doing this for 45 minutes, so.
But there are also some things I genuinely liked about this game. Like, the art style was captivating. The puzzles and exploration were fun. And even though I wish it wasn't designed that I had to do it three times, like, there are other games that I would want to replay less than I would. Like, it kept my attention mostly. I enjoyed it mostly. But on the other hand, like, maybe this isn't a fair comparison. Maybe it's not fair to compare it to other games in the series. But, like, Silent Hill 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. It will definitely get its own episode sometime. And I feel like if a franchise is capable of cranking out a game like that with a story like it has, and then remake it so close in time to this game, except with better combat, like, what is this game's excuse? And maybe it's just that it was too ambitious, but, like, if you're going to change the combat system, you have to at least make it look good. Like, dude, you don't understand how jank-ass this combat was. Like, find a video later. It is it is so bad that it killed the immersion for me. I was like, it's so bad. I feel like, for me, this game called itself a Silent Hill game without having a story that has the level of complexity and nuance that has become a hallmark of the best Silent Hill games. At the end of the day, this is a story about a girl with two and only two paths before her, and in the end, it's heavily implied she'll be a good girl and mostly do the right thing. While, like, occasionally playing soccer or some shit because she's reconciled with her tomboy self or whatever. I don't know, man. Yeah, so, like, 5 out of 10?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Find us on fucking Instagram.
Oh my god, stop! If you would like to learn more about our show and connect with us, please go to Page and Pixel PC on Instagram. That's all one word, no dots, nothing. Page and Pixel PC. Leave a comment. Tell us how much you like us. If you don't like us, keep it to yourself. My friend Pixel over here needs to have a cool down after talking about this. Or
I'm fine.
I don't think you are. Anyway, we're still workshopping a sign-off, so have a great day.